Well, hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Tech Bytes podcast, which is sponsored by Dell Technologies and our great partner, Startup Nation. My name is Megan Wright, and I will be your host for today. And I'm very excited to introduce our really special guest, Alan Klingerman. He is the Chief Technology Strategist of PowerEdge at Dell Technologies, and he will be joining us today. Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Outstanding. Thanks, Megan.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. Well, I'm really looking forward to today's topic. I think it's extremely pertinent to startups and small businesses that are kind of taking these next steps in their business and looking further into their technology infrastructure. Servers is going to be a really big part of that. And so Alan is going to be our absolute subject matter expert on the topic. And we'll kind of cover and introduce into the basics of servers and their relevance to your business. So Alan, I will go ahead and kick it off with question number one. So in general terms, what is a server?
It's a great question. There's a whole lot to decompress there.
Lots I think to unpack.
Exactly. One of the things I'd kind of call out just as a basic premise, we all have used our devices worldwide and, you know, on-premise and cloud-based services and sharing information across a number of different applications. And that is kind of what's known as a peer-to-peer network, right? So we're able to share things and access information across our devices in that fashion. But where a server really comes into play is, let me call out the Webster definition of a server, because I thought it was a good one, which is a computer or a computer program which manages access to a centralized resource or service in a network. So think about it, of your applications that run your business, no matter what industry or vertical that you play in and service your customers in, all of them require centralized resource. And you're probably collecting some sort of data in your day-to-day activity. If you're a retailer, you're probably, you know, collecting point-of-sale transactions as you're selling your goods. If you're in the medical field, you're probably helping out patients and collecting information from an electronic healthcare record systems. All of those applications run on a server. So it really leads us into moving away from that peer-to-peer network to take and collate all that information into one central repository. It's about the data, right? And being able to process and store that data in a central area so that multiple clients can share it. In fact, I think one kind of premise that gets lost in many, when you think about cloud-based services, because we live in this cloudy world, I get that's probably the most popular question I get from customers around the globe is, you know, what does this really mean? Think about it in this term. Any cloud-based service, maybe you're using Google Gmail for your personal account, and maybe just for your junk email, for example. Well, guess what? That runs on a server. It's just The cloud is nothing more than somebody else's server.
Right.
It's still a server. It's just where it runs. And we think about those common roles, given what I just described, of industry-specific or vertical applications, right, in those domains. So that retailer, a point of sale, and that healthcare institution, as I alluded to, in electronic healthcare record systems, which then tie into a database, because that's where all that information is stored. And then there's a number of ancillary roles that support it from an IT infrastructure perspective to provide security and to ensure that you have safety and security around measures such as a cyber vault to protect you against ransomware. So all of those services run on a server.
Understood. Well, thanks so much for kind of clarifying that. I think, the peer-to-peer network conversation and then looking into servers can kind of get a little misconstrued. So I think that really clears up the air. It's really meant to be that centralized source. And, you know, based on your industry, based on your needs of your business, then you can kind of, then align on where that server can really do its job best. So,
and 100%. And I mean, like, back to the day-to-day perspective of, you know, applications we use, two common ones is just file sharing, back to data, and web services, right? I go to a website, and where's that website running? It's running on a web server.
Right, that makes sense. And so whenever, you know, these startups and these businesses are looking to start researching server options, I think there is so much out there to select from, and there are so many options that are extremely customizable. So, you know, if you could kind of go a little bit further into what are the different types of servers available in the marketplace?
Sure thing. Yeah, it could definitely be overwhelming, and it might be. Let me put it in this context, because even some people in my personal life try and explain what I do day in day out, where they may not live in the data center. Like trying to correlate it to, like, think about the car industry. And the car industry, there's lots of different types of cars to take you from point A to point B. They can all do that. But they do that in different fashions. One might be a fast and sleek sports car to get you there fast, right? To get to some type of quick result. One might be more an SUV so that I can take all that storage that we described, put all that data in it, and it might take me longer, but I can truck it across town. And then I might have more of a luxury SUV to actually transport people and have both compute and storage all in one area. And we think about it in kind of these basic elements. Number one is in form factors. So in form factors, we think of tower form factors. So even if you've never seen a server before, you probably know your desktop PC. Probably a lot of us on laptops these days. But if you've seen or were use the desktop PC or need one for higher performance workloads like I use at home, you think about that as the tower, right? Racks, meaning that I'm going to put them into an industry standard EI 232 rack, as they call it, so that I can stack these and put them together so that as you grow your business, you can just kind of easily keep them in a same confined silo, right? So that I can easily, take up small space within your environment because I'm stacking them up in this rack as opposed to putting a bunch of towers into my environment. And then
Got
we
it.
think as the organizations get even bigger, in fact, there's an interesting point for a lot of our small businesses as they start to grow and they have two, three, four servers of actually just consolidating everything into a converged infrastructure platform where I have compute, networking, and storage all in the same form factor, right? So being able to take advantage of everything in one consolidated, smaller footprint in my environment. And then we think about it in terms of outside of just those form factors, we think about it in terms of this is kind of what I want to alluded to in the car analogy of what we say as slots for expansion, meaning what are the additional components I might add to my server over time. So technologies you might be familiar with are things like network cards or graphic acceleration, not really for graphics acceleration in the traditional sense. But for us, it's for high performance data analytics to extract information out of those databases and allow you to go, target your customers better. And then we think about it in bays, meaning how much storage can I fit? Again, back to my car analogy, I can't fit as much in a sedan as I can an SUV. So the slots and bays, right? That expansion and storage is extremely important. And then the last key area is really about what we call RAS features. And the acronym seems a little silly, a lot of different acronyms that align against RAS, but it's about reliability, because we always want to maintain a server always on. Availability, again, same thing, because it's going to be running in today's day and age, 7 by 24 by 365. And serviceability, meaning if I have some component that failed, how easy is it for me to get into that platform, service that issue, and get out, right? So same thing back to that car. I want to make it easy for me to come service. I had a failed starter and I can't go anywhere. I want to quickly get in, put that starter, replace it, and get back on the road.
Got it. And you know what? Thank you so much for using that analogy because I think, just for myself, even whenever you don't eat, sleep, and breathe this content every single day, those types of analogies are so helpful to kind of understand those differences. And so for a startup or a small business owner, depending on, what stage of their business that they're at, I'm guessing that's where we're going to then, take that information of their business and customize these different solutions. So depending on how many employees they have, depending on if they have multiple locations, do those types of, areas then trickle down into the right solution for these servers to decide on racks or towers or converged, all of those different options?
100%, and it's not just current state, but like projected growth? I know it might be harder for, you know, as you're getting started in your business, of understanding what your projected growth is, but as you start to mature, you're going to get some trends, right? And understand what that looks like as you're adding employees and you're successful in the world. You know, what do I need to consider? And that's back to the analogy of slots and bays and planning for, hey, if I'm going to plan for a family in the future and I'm getting ready to buy a car now, but I have no kids, I still might buy an SUV today because I know I'm, you know, hoping to start a family and have kids, and I need a good vehicle to safely carry them around town. So that's kind of those considerations. And user count, I love what you said there. It's extremely important, right? Again, as you grow and scale, that leads us into the more technical considerations and things I wouldn't want to get super deep in it with this audience on, but think about it of memory, because it's kind of a balanced equation, like many other things in this world, right? Of CPU, memory, and storage. It's kind of the three most basic elements of a server. And we think about memory capacity. So same thing, back to that car analogy, how much memory can I add to this? So if I'm gonna continue to add more users and I have a electronic healthcare record system or a point of sale system, maybe I only have one retail store, but suddenly I've got a bunch of retail stores and I need to collapse all that information into a larger database. Now suddenly memory is gonna be extremely important. Core count and processor architectures, here's all I'll say about it. Higher core count, better. And frankly, when you're making the investment today, it's honestly rather small dollars to move from one to the next. So I would say spend where, you know, especially in the CPU architecture, because you can add storage and memory later as your needs grow. CPU, you're pretty much locked in. It's the most expensive component in most servers. So if I'm going to err on the side of heavy, do it on the CPU side, because now you're building a foundation, or it's like building a house. I'm pouring the foundation for success in the future. And by the way, there's great competition in this marketplace, right? x86 breeds a lot of innovation, and both the primary players and names you might be familiar with in both Intel and AMD are very competitive in the marketplace and the server space to really create a great marketplace for our customers to take advantage of all this great technology at, you know, less cost than ever.
Got it. And so, you know, that really helps to kind of paint the picture of those additional considerations. So the memory, the core count, kind of more of the inner workings of what to build out for these servers. So what additional considerations are there when choosing a platform for someone's business?
Yes, there's quite a bit to unpack here too, right? Like it's like any other decision we make. And I'm not sure about all the audience members. This is where I tend to do a lot of, sometimes I can get paralysis by analysis, right? Like trying to understand what this is before I make a good sound business decision, right? Whether it's personal or work. And I think about it in a couple of key areas. The first one's in adaptability. So given what I just described in the components that go in them and the form factors, I'm probably going to want to invest in as much CPU as I can, right, with the highest core count, and in the form factor that gives me the flexibility to grow over time. Because I may not know what that projected growth is. Maybe, you know, I wasn't planning for a family, but I suddenly have one. Now I got to trade in my vehicle and get that SUV. I'd rather not have that happen, right? Let's make sure we're making a good foundation for the future. And it's easy to do that in this marketplace because it's so competitive and it's so easy to step up, you know, model to model to get more features. The other one that's extremely important, and certainly I know a lot of our channel community, right, support our SB and small business accounts, you know, very, very well in their managed service provider type motions, right, to help them where you may not have an IT staff yet and you need to manage this device. Think about it, that remote manageability is extremely important, whether it's that MSP coming and helping you manage in your existing assets as you don't have enough, business to warrant an IT staff. But then as you grow, right, and maybe that retail example I have, now you're successful, you have more than one store, you got 10 stores. Wow, I can't be at 10 places at one time. I probably need some remote management to all those servers that exist in each one of those retail storefronts. So sure, remote manageability is key. And then when you think about it, you really want a good, just like going and buying a car, I'll stay on that thread since we've used that as an analogy. I buy an outcome, right? I sign my paperwork, I'm excited about getting a car, I get my keys, and I safely drive home at 60 miles an hour on a highway. well, we want to provide that same thing for customers in the server space, right? To provide the testing, validation, and qualification for a customer so they don't have to worry about it. You have a job to do. You want to be successful in your industry or vertical. You don't want to worry about the compute element, right? It should just work. And that's where we're highly differentiated in the market, is in that space. And then we think about security. I mentioned ransomware earlier, but you know, its most core tenets, like, what are those things that are built into the server to really make sure that all of your data that runs your business is secure, right? Your customers' data, right, is secure. And then finally, it's back to service and support, right? Who's going to be there behind you, just like it is, hey, I have a problem with my car. I want to know that I'm going back to my dealership and they have a great service center to help me.
Well, I think that really does speak to also, you know, as a small business owner, as a startup, you have so much that is, you know, you're wearing so many different hats. You have so much on your plate to make sure that you are running this business day in, day out. The lights are staying on and you're growing in the right direction. And so I think in looking at, you know, a technology provider that can provide these one-stop shop sort of applications and considerations to adding this type of server into your business, I think is great to be able to, you know, achieve adaptability, manageability, the testings that you mentioned, security, and then service and support all wrapped up in one bow, I think is extremely important to kind of walk away with. So that's fantastic. I have another question for you. So how is Dell PowerEdge doing in the market? And, you know, what are you doing to address these key additional considerations that we've discussed?
I'll actually pull in the thread that you kind of finished that last question on. I love what you said of wrapping it in a bow and bringing all that together. That's what we do at Dell Technologies, right? It's about success within PowerEdge, and certainly it's resonated with customers. We've been on a great record pace, you know, really over the last 3.5 years now, of now number one in the x86 compute space worldwide with over 40% market share. So I want to thank our customers and partners along the way, because you've helped us in the journey, and we're going to continue to invest in your success. I think the next pillar of this, I kind of alluded to it in the prior question, around our channel partners and ecosystems, where we have managed service providers helping our small business manage these assets, right? So they can move on with their day-to-day activities, know they have the safety and security of everything sitting behind their own firewall, and that if they lose connection, they can still operate their business, right? Extremely important of having those partnerships to help us be successful with our customers in the field. And then when I think about those areas I just kind of double-clicked on, we think about it in three areas in PowerEdge. The first one is something that we call adaptive compute. And really the whole idea here is, number one, hopefully everybody knows where Dell Technologies got its start. We're really the industry leader from a supply chain and manufacturing perspective as the only single integrated factory build to order company really that's out there. There's a lot of custom PCs and other white boxes that do this, but we take it to a completely different level in that tested, validated, and qualified approach that I described. So our true end-to-end BTO with this industry-leading supply chain that's unheralded, like you think about CPU, memory, look at those components I broke it out to, memory and storage, we're the largest consumer of all those components in the world. So what does that allow us to do? Bring down and commoditize IT for the broadest set of customers to all of our small business and large enterprise customers. So really, really, you know, providing that reach and providing that true adaptive compute to be able to say, not only is your investment good today, but it's good for the future, because we understand what technologies are coming in the marketplace. Technology doesn't stop. What are we doing to pivot our portfolio to support those technologies as quickly as we can and provide investment protection for our customers in the investments they've already made with us? The other area is in what I kind of referred to in remote manageability, and something we have called autonomous compute infrastructure. And it's really underpinned by iDRAC, that we call as our integrated Dell remote access controller. Think about that as a computer within a computer. So it runs its own operating system and has a secure enclave to perform operations. So just like you have, again, and if you know modern automobiles, they have a number of sensors, right, that do things for you. Adaptive cruise control, turning on your lights at night. those are all examples of autonomous infrastructure doing things for you in the vehicle. We're trying to make the same type of analogy in our compute layer so that we can, through that computer within a computer, leverage all the sensors that are in our system to go take action to do something so you don't have to, right? So you have less IT administration. Again, we want you to keep selling and be successful in the market, not managing the IT assets. And then we tie that into our open managed enterprise so that as you continue to grow your business, imagine now instead of going to each individual computer to do something in iDRAC, I have a single place to look at everything in my environment. My, you know, as I go from one server to two server to 10 servers, I have, or ultimately, hopefully you're extremely successful in your thousands of servers, like many of my customers that have thrived, where I started with them and, you know, one or two servers, and now they are literally 3,000 or 4,000 servers because they've been extremely successful in the market. Oh, by the way, they all started as a Startup Nation, you know, SB type of motion. So
sure.
Very exciting to see that. So that, you know, that component is extremely important because we're able to leverage artificial intelligence to, you know, make those decisions and help the compute element to an outcome. And then the last one is really around proactive resilience. So it's about that security layer that we're just talking about. So that moving from all the way from design, so we're already working, as you can imagine, we just introduced our 15th generation of PowerEdge in March of this year. You can imagine we're working on what's next. So as we're working on what's next, they're already, you know, doing all of that design work. We start at the design premise. So at that side, security is already baked into the product and the process, right? Because it's not just the product, because the product may not exist, but in the process of developing, it's extremely important. And then we do that through its entire life cycle. Again, since we own the supply chain, right? Take the goods in and then build them. We know exactly what was in that system configuration as it left our factory. And then we added something really cool last year as an option called secure component verification. Some of you that might follow or seen some articles about what they call side load threats. So think about it of like, what most people can't control is I do and secure everything in my factory and in my supply chain. I ship it out the door, but once it's in that UPS truck, before it hits my customer's dock, I kind of lose sight of it, right? I don't know what's happening. Right. And there are people that, you know, can pull that asset out of the box, put listening devices on it, etc., and then send it on to its destination. Well, we have some in this area called secure component verification, we can guarantee we have a process at boot for us to run a verification check to ensure the integrity of that system was just as it left our factory. So really cool way of ensuring that our customers are secure from an end-to-end perspective. And there's lots of things we do once it's in production, but you know, I think it's important for those to think about as you're making a decision, hey, we got your back from start to finish in the security area. And then we think about the last area as like tying all of this together in something we call secure connect gateway. So think about this as phone home systems. Where literally now it's calling home and using what they call PFA or predictive failure analysis, using that AI algorithms as I was talking about through that autonomous compute infrastructure to do what? Phone home and say I have an error before it ever occurred. So then we come out and replace that DEM before that DEM ever failed. So again, giving you true 7x24 by 365 operations, just peace of mind that you don't have to worry about the asset.
I love what you just finished that with, peace of mind. I think, you know, just in the theme of this is, one-stop shop, this is also a form of set it and forget it. You know, a lot of these different areas that you talked about, the adaptive compute, the autonomous compute infrastructure, secure connect gateway, all of those areas are things that you as the, you know, business owner, you as the startup, you don't have to actively think about because it's already being thought of on our end, on Dell Technologies' end. So I think that's huge. And so, you know, I do have just a couple of more questions. Really greatly appreciate your time today. I think we're covering such important stuff for all of these startups to take away from and apply to their business. A couple more areas that I'm looking at. So a key consideration of any, you know, server environment is its operating system. That runs on top of the hardware or hypervisor, for example. So what do you see in the marketplace and what does Windows Server 2022 provide?
Oh, that no, it's another great point and extremely important, right? Because obviously the infrastructure and components that we talked about are all important to provide that base foundation and the peace of mind. I love that you double-clicked on that because that's exactly what we're trying to do with all those technologies I described. But for most business owners, it is an interesting inflection point, right? Of what operating system am I going to put to run on this device? And you probably really have two primary ones in the x86 space. You're either running some variant of Linux, even if you probably have heard about that, even if you don't know what it is. And then the Microsoft Windows, right? We're all familiar with Windows on your desktop and laptop and devices that you use day in, day out. Well, they have their server edition, right? Windows Server. And yes, we're on the crux of this brand new introduction of Windows Server 2022, which has some really, really nice features to create for especially small businesses, provide easy services to provide hybrid cloud type architectures, right? To take and move services and files and information, all of your data on and off prem in a seamless fashion. And I think about it in a couple of key areas. The first one I say is in security. Just like they built in security and integrated antivirus into the operating system in Windows 10 and Windows 7, guess what? They've done the same thing here. So we have that same type of security built into Windows Server by default. And they have something new, again, not getting into the deep technical areas, but combining with some of the hardware technologies from AMD and Intel and up through our BIOS and the integration that we have in the factory, something called the Windows Defender System Guard to provide, again, just more layers of security. Think about security as like a layer cake. The more layers I have, the more protected I am. It's like going outside in the winter and it's below zero. I need more layers, right? So it's just another layer of protection to abstract, the bad people from getting access to your data and your information. And then they have some really cool facilities, even though you may not know what this is, you might have some applications that start to ask for this. If you ever heard the term containers, right? We're moving away from just virtual machines and operating systems to the world of containers. If you have some people, maybe you're a startup and you're doing some really cool stuff and you have DevOps team building things in containers. You know 100% what I'm talking about because that's where you're making your investments. There's a native Windows containers experience that was improved in Windows Server 22, and they have native Kubernetes orchestration to be able to manage it, make it easier to use for your DevOps team if you have any of those people. Or if you don't, again, I'm probably still going to pull some common off-the-shelf applications. Some of those off-the-shelf applications are going to say, I need to run in a container. Just know you've got a peace of mind to move and flex based on whatever type of application you need for your industry or vertical that you can run it on Windows Server 2022. And then I kind of alluded to those hybrid cloud features that are extremely important. So think about it expanding into things like being able to migrate data. I kind of alluded to that earlier, but through like a storage migration service to move things easily on and off prem in public Azure to your on-premise Windows 2022 experience. And through something they have called Azure Arc, which allows you to manage your on and off prem experience. So maybe you're consuming, for example, Office 365. We do here at Dell Technologies, right? We utilize software as a service where we can, and it makes sense from an IT investment perspective. Oh, and by the way, in something called Windows Admin Center, which is their integrated GUI to administer the environment, you have native services to see public Azure and your on-premise Windows 2022 server. So great facilities to build for the future.
Oh, yeah. So definitely so much to consider when, looking at these different options for your operating system and so much to offer within the Windows Server 2022. So thinking a little bit into the future, the future can be just a little bit cloudy. So how should a small business or a startup consider where their workloads should live? What are those kind of considerations there?
Yeah, that, in fact, I've alluded to it several times in our session, even starting all the way back to our definition of a server, right? So, yes, it definitely is a little cloudy out there, and you heard me even allude to that. Hey, here at Dell Technologies, we consume SaaS, right, or software as a service where it makes sense. And Office 365 is probably the one that many of us are most familiar with. And when I think about on-premise Exchange, there are reasons to do it in highly regulated areas, but it may not make sense for everyone. I really break it into three areas, and one of them double clicks on what I just said there. Number one, I say it in the law of physics. And what I mean by that is I have to take bits over the wire. So maybe you sit in a remote location and you don't have a good internet connection. That's kind of a problem. So that's probably going to preclude my use of public cloud in certain scenarios. So law of physics, and just even if you do have a high performance one, you can still have some applications that have challenges with latency, right? Because you're not talking to a server that's sitting next to your laptop in your sight. Now it's maybe going across the globe or going across the country or across the globe to hit a resource to provide that service. So law of physics is real. The second one is law of the land. I just alluded to, hey, look, some of us work in very heavy compliant-laden industries or verticals, right? Healthcare, I mentioned earlier, a big example. A lot of HIPAA requirements. I need to put that into considerations of, can I even take that data on or off-prem? And what guarantees do I have from those public cloud providers if I do put my data there that it's going to remain on sovereign soil? Like, all those decisions are extremely important. You can take those off the table if you just keep it on-prem. And then the last one is cost. There is a real cost to run things in the public cloud. And outside of what I described of software as a service, there's two other terms that you might have heard of, and I'll break these up to make it easier for you to understand. Software as a service is just as it describes. It's providing a software application. The example I gave, Office 365, we all go into Outlook, we use email. It's providing those services and the backend to support that email server, right? That Exchange server that used to run on-prem. But when I think about that, then I go, okay, that's software as a service. I want to consume that good, and I can get instant business value. I would say wherever you can use SaaS, it makes a whole lot of sense to leverage the public cloud. You're just trying to achieve an outcome for your business. If there's a way to consume a SaaS-based good and you don't have to manage an application and you're comfortable, this is an important one, comfortable with the provider of that SaaS-based application, sure, leverage it. But then the other two areas get a lot murkier. Like, one of them is infrastructure as a service. I kind of alluded to that the cloud is nothing more than somebody else's server.
Right.
So you're renting, you may not know this, right? You're renting somebody's multi-tenant server. What does that mean? I'm sitting next to my data for my business, sitting next to Megan's data running her business. Well, there's sometimes some concerns in that. Back to what we said, we might be competitors. And, back to, like, how does somebody regulate and control that? And by the way, when I think about that infrastructure as a service, all they're doing is providing basic compute. They're not providing you managed services wrapped around it. So I still have to have a managed service provider running my hardware and infrastructure and VMs in that space. So
Right.
I didn't gain anything. I still have the same day-to-day administration as I did when it was on-prem. And then the last one that I think of is platform as a service. And platform as a service is really not relevant to anybody unless you're out there as a software developer, right? Extremely important to take advantage of what they call microservices to build applications for public cloud and on-premise environments. So when you think about hybrid cloud worlds, and as I alluded to, containers, that's what platform as a service is. So to all of you, right, and your day-to-day interaction as a small business growing it, platform as a service really doesn't do anything for you. Infrastructure as a service certainly can, right? Depending if you have a managed service provider that can help you manage it just like they would on-premise. But there are considerations that we walk through, and those law of physics, law of the land, and cost. And we look at it as that cloud is very much an operating model, not a destination. If you've ever heard Michael talk, in any of his speeches. That's what he's alluded to really the last 5+ years. It's really about how do we provide automation and services such as managed service provider services to help you outsource IT, right? So how do I automate that? And by the way, provide those things that we talked about earlier, an adaptive compute, an autonomous compute infrastructure, and proactive resilience to make the device manage itself, right? So that's part of a cloud operating model, right? That was the attractiveness when it first came out, was just to eliminate the need for IT. It should just be transparent in the background to run something. Well, we're already providing that on or off prem. So now it really is down to those three buckets that I described earlier. And then one important one that I think a lot of people overlook is the data shipping. So not only is it the laws of land for compliance, but there's something called ingress or egress that I think most small businesses, it's a crazy term. You're going, what the heck is that? All it means is, think about this. I go back to the car analogy. I take a bunch of things and put it in the SUV, and I'm going to move it to another location. You're moving that. That's moving it in, right? Moving it ingress. Now you might see it. So I'm moving it in to the public cloud. And then, by the way, when I want to get that data out, and maybe I'm ready to shut down that service because my business grew and it's more costly for me to run it there, guess what? They charge you again. and that moving fee, that's why I kind of alluded to that kind of analogy, like that moving fee is quite costly. Because they're trying to keep you locked into their ecosystem, right? It's good for their business. So ingress and egress costs are a real thing to consider before you even take those first steps into the public cloud. And again, I look at that as infrastructure as a service. Again, software as a service, different thing, right? Go, if you have a good application, you're comfortable with them, that's perfectly fine. And then the last thing I'll say is we have a great tool set. And something called Live Optics available to all of our customers. It's an open source tool. It's just liveoptics.com. If you already got started, you got some resources out there, you're ready to do some tech refresh, guess what? We have some modeling for you. So you can get a capture of exactly the current state of what your environment looks like. And you can do some modeling on and off prem. So we will show you, yes, Dell will show you real costs to run on-prem versus what it runs in Azure, Google, or Amazon. So you've got real-time costs. By the way, those are open APIs. They provide us into their cost streams. All we do is pull into those APIs and give you a quick dashboard based on your actual usage in your data and your environment. So really cool tool. Again, if you have something now and you're thinking about tech refresh or growing your environment, please go take a look. You'll get some great advantages from it.
Well, I think it's just so helpful to hear, you know, I think there's so many conversations happening about the cloud and if it's the right fit for someone's business. So to hear all of these different things that a startup should be considering, like compliance, these as a service, if those make sense for you, if they don't, the ingress and egress items to think about. So super helpful. And, you know, to the point of Live Optics, this is something that our team is able to utilize, you know, for these consultations. So as a side note for anyone listening today, if you're, you know, interested in saying, hey, I think I could use some extra assistance in scaling out this type of solution for you. We do have, if you visit dell.com/outreach, you can sign up for a complimentary on-site consultation with our team. And they are running this exactly. They're running Live Optics to get a snapshot of what your current infrastructure is running at and let us, you know, get some insight and details into how to better fit you going forward. So I think this is all super important to note. And we're kind of, you know, coming to our last question of the day. So to wrap it up, my one last question for you, Alan, is, you know, in addition to the compute layer that we've discussed, what does or where does networking and storage play into, you know, how an IT business grows?
It's very interesting, right? I almost look at it as networking. If you ever look at a topology, it's almost like the central nervous system of a human body. It really is the way you transport information. So networking is extremely important. And by the way, networking has gotten, just like everything else, you know, less and less costly. I can get more for less. You know, where we used to think about gigabit speeds, now we can talk about 10 gigabit speeds for almost the same cost. Moving from 10 gigabit to 25 gig, almost the same cost of what 10 gig used to be. So you're getting bigger, faster, better, just like all the other promises you see around technology. But networking is an important consideration, especially for those layers of security that I described. So we have lots of things to help you at the edge from a security perspective as you build your network out. But network is important, and don't, you know, it can't be forgotten. It's how these servers and clients communicate, right? Whether it's through wireless, you know, going back to wireless access point to a switch back to my server, or whether they're just wired desktop setting in an office location somewhere or a point of sale system, you know, the network is extremely important. And we have some great technologies to help you there at incredibly competitive costs. The other one that I think I alluded to this in the last one, right, especially in ingress, egress, and just the law of physics, but it's about your internet connectivity. Your internet connectivity is going to be your limiting factor in many cases, right? Hey, can I run even without internet? Sometimes you can. That actually is another great on-premise advantage, is what can I do? I have a server local. I'm just trying to serve up a point of sale system for people to ring out. I might still need some type of connectivity for my system to authorize my credit cards, but I need, you know, very, very small bandwidth to get that done. And think about it as in your region, you know, what is your internet connection or bandwidth like? Because that's going to limit your capabilities of what you can or cannot put into the public cloud. So understand, you know, what your interconnectivity is, what your options are. And again, this is one of the areas, if I was going to say, invest bigger where you can. CPU, we said, networking is probably key, and internet connectivity, right? That service out to the internet's going to be key. Otherwise, you're going to limit what you can, you transpire in a hybrid cloud fashion. And then the last one that's extremely important, right, is storage. Storage is really the fastest growing area of anybody's infrastructure at this point. And it's the lifeblood of the business. In fact, here's the way I kind of correlate it, and this is what I would express to anybody, no matter where they're at in their journey of growing their business. In the past, big companies always used to eat the small ones, right? It was hard to go disrupt a big player. That is not the case. And we've seen this, especially in the last 5 years. And then I'll even accelerate that some because of all the change and challenges we've had in the world over the last 18 months, right? It's about digital transformation. And so what we're seeing is that these smaller, nimble, fast companies are eating the slow. And by the way, who tend to be the slow ones? The bigger ones, because mm-hmm. It's harder to get things done. So using that data as you're starting to grow your storage, right? Everybody's creating content and information. Oh, and by the way, whether it's sitting in a structured database, you know, with customer transactions, running it in an e-commerce site, all of that is data for you to get some value out of, right? How do I extract value of that data and then be able to make actionable insights to go change my business, right? Or I'll give one good example because I worked with them for a long time. So you probably know and probably use a service, even if you haven't used as much in the last 18 months, as Uber. And when I think about this context, everybody took it, you know, from destination from point A to point B and get carried safely to your area, right? And kind of disrupted the transportation industry. One of the things they found, and this is actually when they were a rather small company, was like they, through those data insights, understanding where people were traveling from point A to point B, 90% of the time, it was to go to food. So they said, oh, wait, I think we could create a service to bring food to people. Hence the birth of Uber Eats. So again, just an example of different industries using data and insights to figure out that next service to continue to grow your business, right? So it's all about the storage, bigger, faster, better, but also how do I take actionable insights around the data that you have and unlock its value? And we have some great subject matter experts at Dell Technologies to help you get that done.
And I think that's such a great point to end on. And I think especially for, you know, this type of audience of talking to startups and entrepreneurs is the yearning and the goal to disrupt in their respective industries. And data, you know, analyzation and utilizing your data properly is a huge way to do that. So This has just been so informational and so great, Alan. I really appreciate your time. And everyone listening in, if you are interested in hearing more from Alan around, you know, these types of topics, if you have any questions that were brought up from today that you'd like to reach out to Alan and hear a little bit more on, we are actually going to have a live webinar that will be hosted with Startup Nation on October 27th. 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern for that start time. And we would love to have you join us. Save your questions for that time. And we'll be going over a lot more great information, kind of further pressing into, you know, after introducing your server into your environment, what is next? What do you need to be considering past that? So lots of great things to come. But Alan, again, thank you so much for joining Tech Bytes with us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody listening.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for listening in to this episode of Tech Bytes with Dell Technologies and Startup Nation. Please definitely join us for our live webinar with Alan Klingerman on October 27th to hear a little bit more information around servers. Thanks so much, everyone.